Wednesday morning with Terry Clifford, TJ Sharp. I'm Chris Kanya. Thank you so much for participating in the show here at 585-222-9233. We told you the last couple days it's going to be a roller coaster of a week for this radio show this week after last weekend. And we're going to shift gears here and talk to this wonderful person because her time is very precious. From 13 Wham, it's Ginny Ryan. Good morning, Ginny.
Hi, Ginny.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How about you? You must be pretty exhausted, both physically and emotionally.
No, not too bad. You know, it's good to be home. I will say that much. But it's been a lot. I'm still kind of processing, I think, everything.
Ginny, I don't know. I'm not sure how old your kids are, but my daughter is Brittany's age. And by the way, Ginny has been covering the Brittany Drexel case since it began, correct?
Yes, yeah, 13 years.
And with me, it was like, you know, the sense of urgency was as if I was walking in Dawn and Chad's shoes, and yet I thanked God every single day that I wasn't. And I can do nothing but cry for them right now, just because finally they've got her. Not the way they want her back, but they've got her back. How are they doing right now?
You know, I think they're in a bit of shock. They were prepared for what happened on Monday. They'd been briefed by the FBI last week. And at that point, the FBI appointed them each a liaison to update them on the latest information. And they did learn very quickly that the remains found last week in a subdivision in Georgetown County were that of Brittany, because they had the dental records to confirm it. And they were on a conference call and briefed by the FBI. And then they were briefed later on developments involving Raymond Moody. And they had a meeting with investigators from Georgetown County right before the news conference. But even having said all that, there is that moment when you're in a room, and I was sitting there and I was watching them come in, and you know, the whole family was there, including Brittany's grandparents on her maternal side, and watching them all come in. And there's just this moment, it will stay with me forever. You know, I had my pen and paper in hand, and I finally realized what we were talking about. You know, I knew what was coming.
Sure.
But I looked at this big poster of Brittany in the room, and I got so emotional.
Oh.
Because, you know, thinking it and hearing it is two different things. You know, it was just this moment of finality, and the enormity of it really hit me. Thinking about, yeah, my son is Brittany's age, my daughter's a little bit younger, and my husband taught Brittany in fifth grade and just loved her. I mean, still talks about her, taught her sister Marissa, knows her parents, and he really was impacted by this case too. So I had that connection as well.
Wow.
And you know, he was really upset by it. His Facebook profile is Brittany's picture still to this day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
So their daughter disappeared 13 years ago, and finding this out. So you were down there. Can you tell us anything about what led to the discovery?
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot they're not saying. And there's a lot that Brittany's parents know that they have not been able to say to us. And I'm trying to separate the things that they told me that I can't really say. But there's a lot that they know that they haven't said.
Sure.
But I will say that he's been a person of interest since 2011.
Okay.
Leading up to that, it was interesting. We found records that he'd been stopped repeatedly for seatbelt violations. So he'd been on their radar for a long time. And they were following him, clearly. But they just didn't have the evidence. And after they named him as a suspect, they searched that motel room where he stayed for 6 months, and they tore it upside down. We talked to the hotel manager, and they sliced through mattresses and took off wallpaper, and they did everything they could in that room, but there apparently was nothing there. As it turns out, at least from what Ray Moody is saying, she was never in that room. She lost her life on a boat ramp along the Santee River about 50 miles from where she was taken, and then driven 20 more miles and buried. So she wasn't kept, she wasn't held against her will for a prolonged amount of time, as that original theory was, you know, announced by the FBI in 2016. You know, it was interesting. I talked to the public information officer from Georgetown County, and he confirmed to me that Ray Moody had confessed, which we all assumed along the way, but we couldn't report that. And he said to me, you know, this is all according to Raymond Moody. So some of it may not be completely true. And they're right now in the process of trying to figure out what he said that's accurate, what he's still lying about. They reestablished this command center in Myrtle Beach for the next 2 days, and they're putting it all together for prosecutors to make a case against him.
Wow.
And Ray Moody has waived a lot of his initial court appearances. So they're right in the discovery phase now of this case. So it's moving pretty quickly. And that also led me to believe he had confessed because, you know, he waived all these other court procedures that would have enabled him, you know, to have some say in moving the case forward.
You know, again, putting myself in her parents' shoes, I guess I would want to know every single thing that happened, and yet I don't want to know any of it. So I don't know how they make that decision. I really don't. But I would be grateful to know that everything that happened to her happened very quickly, that it didn't, you know, go on and on.
I know. I think I'd be the same way. I want to know and I don't want to know. Yeah. It's been torture. I mean, I can't think of another way to say it other than torture.
It has.
You know, there's still anger there. You know, Chad said to me, and there's a death penalty in South Carolina. He said to me the other night, we want the death penalty. Mm. And I, you know, and whether you agree with it or not, I understand as a parent where that's coming from.
Oh,
you
God,
know?
Yes. Just,
yeah, you know, I don't want to get into any political debates.
I get you. I hear you.
Yeah, it just speaks to the anger and the hurt,
right,
you know.
Right, absolutely.
And this man, 13 years, they sat there and they searched and they wondered and they mourned, and it's just, yeah, it's torture.
Will there be a chance for our community to celebrate her life? Are they, you know, it's no one's business where she's being laid to rest, but will there be some sort of a memorial service here?
Yes, they are planning a celebration of life both in Myrtle Beach and Rochester, and I think it's pretty active, those plans. I expect to learn more very soon. The Myrtle Beach community really embraced Brittany's family. Dawn made a lot of friends in that community. And, you know, they have a memorial tree and a stone for Brittany. So, yeah, there's also going to be something there. There's everywhere I went, they asked, you know, people asked, what are you doing here? And I said, we're from Rochester. And they knew immediately why we were there.
Wow.
So they followed this case very closely, both in the Myrtle Beach markets and Charleston.
I was telling Chris and TJ that I saw someone one of the officers that was at the press conference, it was a woman, and she was saying that, you know, every officer has that case that just haunts you. And I remember Sheriff Maloney saying that his case was Kaylee Ann Poulton. And for her, and she was an officer in Myrtle Beach, her case was Brittany. And it just, I don't know, there was something very heartwarming about that, to know that there was that kind of love for her, for this child they had never met in South Carolina.
You know, I was struck by what she said too. That's the chief of the Myrtle Beach Police Department who said that.
Oh, wow.
I could hear the emotion in her voice when she was speaking. She was nervous when she, you know, first began addressing the room, and then, you know, her voice kind of settled down, but there was definite passion and compassion in her voice when she said that. You know, it's interesting that you brought up Kaylee. I was in Myrtle Beach, and I had just finished the news conference, and a text from Kaylee's mom came up on my phone.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I got really emotional. I think of it now. I still stay in touch with Judy. Gifford Tosh. Love Judy.
Oh,
love her.
Absolutely.
She said to me, thank you for being there and keeping her family's story in the news. I mean, how thoughtful of her.
You bet. Because,
you know,
I mean, Kaylee was our kid's age because she was my son's age when she went missing. Gosh.
I know. And I was so touched by Judy reaching out to me. And I said to her that text is the nicest thing I've heard all day. So thank you.
That's so sweet.
But it just kind of brought it full circle when you mentioned Sheriff Maloney. I thought, oh my goodness. Yeah. It's just, You know, I thought about Judy in that moment. I thought, you know, both she and Don waited years to know what happened to their child.
Right, exactly.
Know, pure evil, you know.
Exactly.
Jenny Ryan, we are so lucky to have you.
You bet.
Oh,
we
God.
Really are.
Thank
Rochester
so
Community
much.
And 13
I
WHAM.
That.
I know
You're
that, you,
very kind of say that
you've put a lot of time into this story. Where can they find it in its entirety, your interview, all of the information you've gathered?
Yeah, it's all on our website. Thank you okay. for asking, 13wham.com, you know, as well as Facebook pages and Twitter and the rest.
Okay.
You know, it's been very fast and furious, so I apologize. Sometimes the coverage isn't as comprehensive as, you know, we would have liked because, you know, you're just running and gunning all day
sure.
when you're down there.
Oh, sure.
And you're trying to get it back in time. But yeah, I know, I think we need to... I think it would be helpful for me and maybe the community to take a step back and look at this story in its entirety when we get a moment, you know, to think about it.
And while
I think that would be
helpful. And Jenny Ryan from 13WHAM, while we think of course, the Drexel family, we think of you. I mean, you've been on this the whole time and it has to be some sort of, and I know this word was used a lot in the press conference, but bittersweet, which is a kind of a unique, weird word to use in this situation, but it's hard to come up with a better one. So we are thinking of you as well, because you're just as close to this as anybody. So
you bet.
Well, thank you. But yeah, please, let's all think of Brittany's family today. And, you know, moving forward, they're going to need that support that our community has given right from the beginning. You know, that's been extraordinary. And I hope you heard them thanking our community for, you know, kind of embracing them and supporting Brittany and the search for her.
You bet.
You know, this is still not over. You know, there's going to be a lot more details to come out. It's not going to be easy, you know, I think, to hear the rest of this.
Oh,
for sure.
Goodness. Jenny, thank you for covering.
Oh, my gosh.
And for
you.
Doing this with such compassion and such heart, as always. We most appreciate your time. I know you got to be so tired, but thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you. You're very kind. I appreciate your words and, thanks for having me on.
You bet. Take care now.
All right. You too, guys. Thanks.
Traffic is starting to thin out on 490 westbound. There was an earlier accident around East Ave on the left side of the road. And on 590 south, that's looking a lot better as well. Other expressways were looking good. 490 eastbound inbound from the canal to downtown and 390 north and south by the airport. I'm Marty Casper with the latest from the Barnes Firm Traffic Center. Injured, call 1-800-8-MILLION. That's 1-800-800-0000.
May is Maytag month, the hardest working month of the year. When you can save on hard-working Maytag performance. Like laundry pairs that make clothes think